All right. So, back to spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, once again, very important. To kind of give a quick review of what we've done so far. We only did the first three. I mean, kind of going over first four, how the Bible informs us so we're not ignorant. Once again, he even said that. I need you to understand spiritual gifts. It's necessary. Every Christian, if you're a Christian, you have gifts. Unfortunately, today, majority of Christians have no idea what their gifts are. We're going to learn why later on in this study. Spiritual gifts are one of the things God uses to display salvation. Once again, for his glory. So gifts aren't for you to have something to say, hey, look at me. And that's what some people who do know their gifts end up doing. They glorify themselves. Do you understand that? Instead of glorifying God. So that's the main purpose. Each Christian has a gift or gifts. So you at least have one gift. Okay? A lot of times we don't know our gifts because we allow people to relabel gifts or because we're looking for them in the wrong purpose or you don't like your gift. The gift you have, yeah, I know, but I really want to. Do you understand that? We miss that part of the gift. And our gifts are meant to be used in concert with others' gifts in the body. So sometimes my gift is going to be meaningless if it doesn't work with your gift. Does that make sense? And this is why if I am a lone Christian and I do know my gift, it may never work out. I may never use it. Why? Because it was meant to be used with other Christians, okay, with their gifts. That's why we're called a body. So putting all those together, it's very necessary for us to understand this process of gifts. It's not just something that would be nice to have. This is something necessary. And it's called a gift because you can't work out and get it. In other words, you can't work and get a gift. I can't go to a singing teacher to get singing gift. I can't go to a tongues teacher to get tongues gift. I can't go to an encouragement teacher to get, do y'all get where I'm coming from? It's called a gift because I did nothing to get it. I did nothing to earn it. It was given to me. Okay, so I can practice all I want and it won't be a gift. Now, God gives us talents, as we'll talk about. Talents are a little different. Okay, you're born with those and you can work out those and refine those. But in your gift, you can fix things around who you are in order for your gift to work out. But you can't do nothing to the gift. That's why it's called the gift of the Spirit. Does everybody understand this? Very important for y'all to get that, okay? Because too many times we'll call something that somebody does that we're fascinated by a gift. And we're using the term wrong, okay? Not realizing how the Bible puts it. Now, back on your page then, we're at the part where it says, our gifts are meant to be, our gifts are shown through speaking or action, and the glory is to go to God, right? Okay, so in 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Now, let me stop there for a minute. So do you see what I'm saying? Even though it is a gift, how and when you use it is up to you. Do you get where I'm coming from? So I can still use my gift wrong, and I'm going to have to answer to God for it, which many have done. That's why he says, not everyone that says me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's going to say, but didn't we remove demons in your name? So it's implying this person had a gift using it in the wrong way somehow. Do you get where I'm coming from? Because he still wasn't serving God in the way to still enter the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't doing God's will. Remember, he says, only he who does the will of my Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. Do y'all get this? Okay. So he's showing us there when he says, now that I know my gift, I have to use it in the right way to serve others, not to shine Keith, not to make money, serve others. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And he says faithfully, keyword, faithfully. Faithfully. That means depending on God for it, not depending on me. So if I'm nervous, the nerves got to take a back seat. If I didn't practice, the practice got to take a back seat. All that has nothing to do with it. It's me having faith. So the way I build or strengthen that gift is by studying and growing in my relationship with God. Does that make sense? Okay, I try any other thing, all right, I'm trying to add to it, I'm actually diminishing it, I'm actually hurting it, okay? That's why he says faithfully administering God's grace in this various form, because when I do it by faith, I'm only doing it in the way God says it. When I do it any other way, I'm following something else. It says, and he kind of breaks it down, if anyone speaks, so if your gift is one of speaking, and there's many speaking gifts, okay, it could be encouragement, it could be preaching, it could be teaching, it comes there, but if one he speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? So I don't use my gift to sell something. Do you understand that? I don't use my gift, once again, to make me, a better sale at something or to get an endorsement or something like that. You understand? Mine is to make sure I'm displaying God, and he gave me the gift so I can display his word. He was like, if anyone serves, and serving comes in multiple different forms, he should do it with the strength God provides. Ah, this is why I'm saying some will get a gift, and it's like Samson. You didn't hear Samson going to the gym, did y'all? Was there any pages in there where it said, so Samson went as he was working out? Why? He didn't need to work out. He had the strength through the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just using that as an example, because remember, the Old Testament, they only got it in various forms. We have access to it, complete access to it, and he's always in us. So I don't have to work out that. I just have to grow in my relationship with God. So I'm depending on God, not on, now I'm a preacher, so I got to go to the preacher's school of better preachers. Seriously? Unless they're just going to show me how to have a better relationship with God, that's great. But if I'm going there to be what they say I should be, you understand? And this is where we mess up. We'll take the world's advice on godliness of our gift. And he's saying, no, do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Now, if I come out saying, it's because I worked hard, it's because I did this, because I did that, who are they going to give the praise to? You know, they say, well, Pastor, I would give it to Mark, but they'll give it to me also. But Mark's saying self, he's right. And if you thought it's because of how hard I studied, how hard I worked, is why my ministry and this and that, you give me the praise. And I blew it. You got where I'm coming from. Instead of you saying, nothing I did, I'm allowing myself to be used by him. And that's how it's supposed to be. It's saying, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Please understand that that's a major part of our gift. It was never meant to shine us, never meant to glorify us, never meant for people to even give major compliments to us. None of that plays a part. And that's what messes up, because we give honor to a lot of people who use it in a form to shine themselves, and it misses. They miss on the point. Now, as you see at the bottom there, I say don't mistake spiritual gifts for natural talents. Everybody's born with natural talents. Only Christians have spiritual gifts. How do I know that? Because it's called the gift of the what? Spirit. Only Christians have the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? Okay? Just like fruit of the Spirit. That's how we know other Christians. He said, you'll know them by their fruit. Only Christians have the Holy Spirit. That's why only Christians can have the fruit. That's how we know they're really Christians, because they'll display the fruit. So in the same way, with gifts, your gift will only come from the Holy Spirit, and only Christians can have it, and it's used for one purpose, and that's to do the work of God. Talents, otherwise, will be something you have that comes easier than others. Okay? You're born with it. You ever hear somebody say somebody's a natural? And just like gifts, talents can come in multiple. You have some people that can do one major good thing. Some people are good artists. You ever seen them when they draw something? You're like, man, that's fantastic. You know what I mean? And I can draw a mean stick man. Even my stick man looks bad. You know what I mean? So I don't have that talent. I may be able to go to school. You can learn a talent. You can grow in a talent. But most, people are born with those. Gifts only come from God. Now, like with talents, you still should use them to glorify God, like you're supposed to do everything. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. But talents everybody has, non-Christians and Christians, but only Christians have gifts. Amen? Now, understand this: how this is broken down, how gifts work. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts from the same. Now, the reason why I'm saying this and how this selection breaks it down, it's showing the where, the how, and the what happens. Okay, the where, the how, and the what happens. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute. He's basically saying, multiple gifts, one Spirit. Okay? And he's giving them, as you're going to say, to different people, as we're going to see later, as he fits. So where does the gift come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the gift itself, where that power that you have, comes from the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Ah, now watch what it's saying. So in other words, how that gift is used in order to minister is done in different ways. Where do I get the ideas or the ways to do it? From the Lord, from Jesus, who is the Word. As you go through the Word, you see different forms of ministries. Does that make sense? Okay, it can come in encouragement, it can come in preaching, it can come in helping, it can come in service. It's going to come in different ways that the Bible says. So in other words, the ways I know that I'm doing the right service is following him as my example. So not just the Gospels, the entire Word of God gives me that instruction. So the instruction on how to use it is in the Bible. Okay, those two are very important, but this is by far the most important. There are different kinds of working, but the same God, watch this, works of of them in all men. This is what this means. So let's say my gift is preaching. So I get up and I preach, but I have to preach the way the Bible says, not like Johnny Minister 101 says down the street. I have to do it the way the Bible tells me to preach and stick with it that way. So I use the spirit and the gift he gives me to preach. I do it the way he says, I'm done. Why? Because it's God that works from there. Does that make sense? It's like me planting a seed. And then we're going to see that example later. If my job or gift is to plant a seed, your job is to water the seed, we're done. I don't come outside later and dig it up and say, I got to now tear it apart and pull the plant out. No, I don't add something extra to make it. That God's like, I got that. So how it grows and whatever happens after that, that's on me. You just do what you're supposed to do. Where we mess up is we do our gift and then add. Does that make sense? We call ourselves helping, while in other words, we're hindering, because he's the one who makes it work. Does that make sense? Does y'all get that? You know what I mean? He's the one who makes the process work. So those three things are very important. The power comes from the Spirit. The example comes from the Bible. But the one who's doing the work is God. You're not doing the work. I'm not doing the work. Okay? If somebody gets blessed by what I preach, it's not because of me. It's because they allow God to work in them. Now, here's the deal. You got people in church listening to the same sermon. And some of them were touched. And once again, as long as I did what I was supposed to, I did my part. And it didn't mean God just picked one or two to work. He's working in everybody. We just don't always allow him to work. Do y'all get that? Right? If I have other stuff in my mind, let other things happen, I'm not going to get anything. Okay? Even though God is still working, God will not force, God will work in us. Got this? Okay. That's why he says in verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the what? Common good. Now what does that mean? Common good means for the purpose of good. The whole thing is for all of us as one body to do the same good. Me preaching is the same one as somebody who has the gift of encouraging, the same one as a person who has the gift of healing, and somebody who has the gift of prophecy. All same purpose is the common good. And we're going to see what that good is a little later for building up the church. To one, there is given through the Spirit. Now, he's given some here. And we're going to go through a bunch of them that the Bible shows. And some of them give specific gifts, and some of them give categories. Okay, these are kind of specific gifts here. To one, there is given the Spirit, given through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. Okay, the message of wisdom. We'll break these down a little later, so I'm going to read them first, and then we'll come back. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each of us, watch this, just as he determines. See, remember I told you, I'm born with a purpose. So he already says, I made Keith to get this gift. So the first thing, Keith has to grow and accept me. Live for me, my purpose, and then I can work with him to be what I made him to be. Does that make sense? Where we mess up is we grow to be what we want to be, and we reach out for what we want God to give us. And that's why we miss. Here's this gift over here, right, that I'm supposed to, but I don't like that. I really like this over here. Does that make sense? God, unlike us, cause we'll go, okay, well, I'll take that one back, and you can have that one. Isn't that what we do? Yeah, have you ever bought your kid something and they didn't like the one, but they liked what the other kid had, so you took the one back and all that sounds great, and I understand that's how we cater. Instead of going, be happy with what you get. Amen? Because that's what God is doing with us. He gives us things, and because of our desires, we let our desire get in the way, we're missing out on our gifts. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? Okay? In which you have this gift that you should be using, but you keep doing this other thing over here that you think you enjoy much. Just as he determined. So let's break some of these things down. First of all, common good. The Greek word is sumphero, which means to bear together, okay, to collect, to conduce. So the common means it's all of us together. It's done, in other words, you don't go to one church for a certain good and another church for a certain good. All churches should be doing the same good, and that's glorifying God. That's ministering God and building up the church to minister God and building up the church to minister God. You see where I'm going with this? It's that same good. One church isn't doing some different good than another good. There's not different kinds of good. There's a common good. Everybody with me? Okay, so it's all the same. All churches have the same good. Then he breaks it down. Gifts, like I was saying earlier, comes from the Greek word charisma, okay, which means a divine gratitude, deliverance from danger, passion, a spiritual endowment, subjectively religious qualifications, or objectively miraculous faculty. Okay, gifts is that same word charisma is also known as favor. Okay, so keep that in mind. So we have to understand the gifts that we have. You have that same favor. No, I'm mixing that with something else. Sorry about that. But the gifts that you have, the charisma you have, is that thing that he gives us in a sense of working through us and the power that he gives us. But it's a gift. It's a gift that's given to us. It's like favor. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The other thing that he talked about was services. Okay? And that, as I have in parentheses, the action done with the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter how strong you physically are, how smart you physically are, how much experience you had, how much experience you don't have, it won't matter. The Spirit will use you. He can use you as a baby to do something that a person, you know, who's been lifting weights or whatever can't do, or he can take a very strong man and make him as tender as whatever you understand that. It has nothing to do with what you are. It has what you allow him to do. Does that make sense? Okay, so we see that services. So in these services, we're following what Christ is telling us to do, not what I want to do. And that's what the Bible shows us. Why do I read the Bible? I don't just study the Bible to say I studied the Bible. It's for instruction. It gives me the example of how to minister. Does that make sense? My biggest guide has been, you don't know how many times I've been sent to people that say, go to this person, he'll show you how to minister. And I'll hear what they do, and they have this pattern that you hear certain ministers do, and I get it. And it's a tradition that's been done, and it's done. But when you look at the Bible, our job is to take the word and feed you with it. That's my job. Do you understand that? So that's what I'm supposed to do. Take the word and feed you with it. I'm not supposed to put on a show. I'm not supposed to astound you. I'm not supposed to put you in awe. My job is to feed you with it. Now, you may hate it. You may spit it out. My job is to feed you. That is it. Do you understand that? And that's how the Bible shows that. Okay? But that's what the service is. And the working is how that gift works. How that gift works, okay? And it comes from the word energema, which means an effect. It's the after effect, okay? So how that gift works is what God, in other words, in me planting that seed, God is doing that working. Do you understand that? But he's doing it through me if I allow him to. But it's all about God. The key here is we have to understand is, as Christians, we are all instruments. The minute I miss that, I'll try to do it. No, God is not my co-pilot. No, I'm not his partner. Do you understand it? I'm an instrument used by him, not working with him. See, me working with him implies that I'm adding something to the equation, and I'm not. Neither are you. Do y'all get this? All I'm adding is me allowing him to use me. Amen? Because he doesn't need me. Now, the minute I get me out the way, I can truly be used by him to glorify him. Then we get our point. Then we understand, okay, that's my purpose, is to serve him. As Sister Darlene said earlier, as it says at the end of Ecclesiastes, the whole duty of man, fear God, keep his commandments. The fear God part is, what would you want me to do? Got it. Do you understand that? Not, but I feel, and I think, and we had all this junk to get away. And he's like, okay, when you're done, let me know. Amen? And some never get done. And that's the problem. Okay? So now let's look at some of the first gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians 12. Like I said, and some of the gifts we're going to go over, some of them are going to come in categories, and some of them are going to come in specifics. These are specifics. The first one was message of wisdom. Here's the deal. In the world today, you usually get wisdom through experience. Okay? Yeah, I was listening to a TED Talk not too long ago in which they were talking about certain different wisdoms that are out there. There's only one true godly wisdom, and that comes straight from the Spirit. And you can only get that from the Spirit. You can study till your head blows up, but until you 100% depend on God, you won't have wisdom. Do you understand it? Okay, true wisdom comes directly from God. You may have never gone through it. That's why I was able to be a counselor. See, a lot of times, I told you, it was even before I had kids, I was helping somebody with things on children, and I had a mom sit there and tell me, "What do you know about it?" But I understood what she was saying because she was like, "Wait a minute, you don't have kids. How can you tell?" Because if I was giving her Keith's opinion, she would have been 100% right. What I'm telling her is what the Bible says. what the word is given. You know what I mean? So I'm showing the wisdom of using the word of God. You got where I'm coming from. And a lot of it, if it's followed based on God, it's not saying Keith is brilliant and Keith has this. It's allowing God's wisdom. Do y'all get this? You could help everybody with anything. A man can help a woman going through woman issues. A woman can help a man go through man issues. Why? Because we have the ultimate answer. We have that wisdom. But the person who have the gift of wisdom will have this automatically through the Spirit. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? But it won't come from experience. It won't come from heavy studying. It comes from the Spirit. Amen? The other one is the message of knowledge. Now, wisdom is how I do that something. Knowledge is the knowing of something. Not everybody who's knowledgeable is always wise, and vice versa. Don't mix the two up. Some people think because somebody has a whole lot of knowledge, they have wisdom. You may know how to do a bunch of stuff, but it doesn't mean you're going to do it right or do it in the right time or do it in the right – does that make sense? Okay? So knowledge and wisdom. A person who has knowledge, they're just like, why do you know this? How do you know all this? You ever get that? And that's where the Spirit comes in. It'll give you knowledge of things, and you're like, why do they know that? You know, and it's not because you studied it or you were in the library for all your life or, you know, you use the internet or whatever it is. You're a walking Wikipedia. No, it means the Spirit is giving you that knowledge. Once again, it's going to be for certain purposes that this will work in. Then you have the gift of faith. Now, people struggle with this one. OK, the gift of faith, because we all as a Christian have to have faith. OK, you have to have faith. OK, and faith is that true belief in God. If you want the most simplistic answer is total trust in God. That is faith. Person who has a gift of faith, because understand, all of us start off as babes. You know what I mean? You start off born again. So you now have to grow in your faith, and your faith is going to go up and it's going to go down. And we grow in our faith by doing what? Faith comes from hearing from Word of God. Remember that? So faith comes from hearing from the Word of God. So we have to keep building. The person who has the gift of faith, you'll see them relying on God almost instantly. They'll be in situations to where I might have had to grow in my faith and it'll be instant. But that gift was given to them for a purpose. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? They'll be put in a situation to be a leader of some situation in which it would take a long time for us to grow in our faith, and that person would have it. That's a gift of faith. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? So they'll show that a strong belief in God to where most of us have to keep growing in God. Does that make sense? Now, one thing, this one could actually fit as a category in some cases, because it doesn't mean they have the gift of faith, period. They could have the gift of faith when it comes to this. They could have the gift of faith when it comes to that. You get where I'm coming from? They can be put on a situation, and in that situation, they got the gift of faith. Okay? Just like when you looked in the Old Testament, you have the what was called the major prophets and the minor prophets. Wasn't saying one was better. Okay? It's not saying the major prophets were the better prophets. No. They just wrote longer books. Okay? And the minor prophets wrote less, but they are both major use for God. You have where I'm coming from. Okay, so if one page is used, that's just as important as the person who wrote multiple pages of prophecy. They were still prophets. Okay, so when you have that gift, that gift doesn't mean you're going to do it the same as everybody else. Does that make sense? Okay, so keep that in mind. The gift of healing. Now, this is the healing what we talk about, Sister Marva, on where they will and have the gift to remove a sickness. Questions have been asked about this. Does that mean they can heal everybody? There's some implying, not necessarily. They can only heal whom they're led to heal. Do y'all get that? They can only heal who they're led to heal. There's some scripture that implies that. Okay? But the person who has this gift can heal, but they can heal as the Spirit leads them. And here's the deal. All of these, you're only work when you're led by the Spirit. And this is why it's so dangerous today when you hear people go, well, the Spirit leads me. Please be careful, because a lot of us, that's your emotions. It has nothing to do with Spirit. You hear people saying the Spirit led me to do something, and it wasn't the Spirit. It was your feelings. And now you're confused, because now how do I know when I'm really being led by the Spirit, when I'm being led by emotions? That's why your relationship with God comes in. The more you grow in the relationship with God, the more you'll know the difference. Do you understand that? But that's where you have to have a true relationship with God. Okay, you don't have the relationship, you won't know the difference. You'll be still torn between this strong feeling you have and thinking it's the Holy Spirit. And that's very important. Okay, but the gift of healing is exactly that. They will take away these sicknesses we have down here as the Spirit leads them. Miraculous powers is a category. Okay, miraculous powers means they could fly if they needed to. They can go through walls if they needed to. They can do what you may see as magic, but it will be supernatural. Does that make sense? Okay, and it comes in different forms. Okay, and it works in different ways. When Jesus was able to walk on water, is a miraculous sign. Do you have where I'm coming from? That was a gift. He had all the gifts. Now remember, he had the fullness. We're going to see this later. He is Christ, so he had all the gifts. Okay, we have access to all the gifts. How? What's that? Because we're the body. Do y'all get that? Remember, he says you'll be able to do more than me. He's understanding, letting us know. He didn't mean you as an individual. He means you. We'll be able to do more than him. Why? Because we make up the body of Christ. The body of Christ was able to do everything. Okay, so we see miraculous signs. When he took the fish and the bread and fed first the 5,000 and then the 7,000. Do you remember that? That's a miraculous power. That's ridiculous. There's no way on earth he should have been able to do it. And they ate with baskets left over. Do you remember? Those are miraculous powers. So that's what I'm saying. It can come in different forms. A person who have that gift. Once again, today somebody would take that and they'd go on the road. And make a killing. And you get fish sandwiches for everybody. You understand? I mean, you'd be like, man, I could feed everybody and I'm going to get paid. And unfortunately, some people would do it. It doesn't mean he would take your gift away. It just means you'd probably be in trouble. Does that make sense? Okay. If my goal was to preach to make money, if that was my purpose, he doesn't necessarily mean he'd take it away. It just means eventually I'm going to be in trouble. Okay. Always keep that in mind. So just because he gives his gift doesn't mean he's going to take it away from you. You have the gift of prophecy. Telling the future as the Spirit leads, and it's for encouraging. We're going to see that a little later. The gift of distinguishing between spirits. You don't know how many times I've heard people misuse that they have this, and it's usually because they don't like somebody. You ever heard they don't like somebody? They'll go, I don't like that person, and I have the gift of distinguishing between spirits. They're trying to tell you, you shouldn't like this person because I have the gift. And it's so disingenuous. Here's the problem. When you misuse the Holy Spirit, that should be something that you're fearful of. So be careful in claiming a gift if you're not sure you don't have the gift. Do you understand that? All right. But I've heard people use that multiple times, and they've just been wrong. They didn't like somebody, and they'll say, my spirit led me to, no, that was just you. That was 100% you. Do you get where I'm coming from? Please be careful with that. People will use this one as a common one. But this really does mean, and it will be more on people. It should work that you'll be able to get it with somebody. And you know how some of us have to wait and we grow and the next thing that we know, okay, that person concerns me or everybody else will like them, but you just have that. And we have a feeling now. Be careful of that feeling. The person who has this will be able to know that that person's not good. They'll know immediately through this spirit. Do you understand that? Okay, they'll be able to distinguish. And the reason why we're talking about people, if you ever look in John, in fact, turn to show you. Go to 1 John. Way at the end of the Bible. So we'll go 1 John. What I'm looking for in 1 John is where he says test. In fact, let me look that up. Test the spirits. What's that? I can't hear you. Chapter 4. Okay, let's go there. So John 4. Yes, starting verse 1. Thank you. So 1 John 4, starting verse 1, says, dear friend, do not believe every spirit. And he's not talking about the ones that you may hear outside, because spirits speak through others. That's why he says, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So a person who has the gift of distinguishing between spirits won't have to go through this test. They'll know. Did you get where I'm coming from? They'll know immediately. Okay? And they'll know it to the fact that we'll look at somebody now. The problem is you have people that claim to have this, and when they don't like somebody, they'll just say that. Don't do that, okay? Please know you want to – all this has to be done in reverence. Please understand that, okay? Don't take his gifts lightly. Don't act like you have something when you don't. If you're not sure, it's better to go, I don't know, than to claim to have it. Because the minute you claim to have it, you're held accountable for now what you do with it, because you're representing God. Does everybody understand that? Okay? Everybody with me on that? Okay. Please be very careful of that, because people have messed that around many times. But that's where, how, if, and if you kept reading that, that's how we're able to tell when the spirit of the Antichrist versus the spirit of God. And we have other verses that show that. But a person with this gift would have that automatically. Okay? Speaking in different kinds of tongues. Now, from what the Bible shows, there are two types of what you may call tongues. There's what's called unknown tongues, and then there are other kinds of tongues. Okay? When people get mixed up, if you go into Acts, the first time we really hear of tongues, okay? If you go back and you read that whole thing, when the Holy Spirit first came on people, and they said they spoke in tongues, read it again. Because what you'll hear is, it's like me speaking in English, okay? And let's say you're from Indonesia, and let's say you're from the Krypton, and you're a Klingon, and you're from, okay, but no matter what, right, all of y'all are hearing me in your language. So I wouldn't have to first speak your language and speak your language to speak. No, I'm speaking in English, but all of you hear me in whatever your language is. That's what happened in Acts. Get a chance, read it again. They said they kept hearing each other in that other language, and you keep hearing me, like I'm hearing all these people in different languages, but I'm understanding you in my language. Okay, so that's one form of it. Another form of it is me speaking different languages, and I never had training. I can speak Spanish out of nowhere. Why? I can speak Chinese. You understand that? Okay, why? And that's going to be a gift. These are the gifts of other tongues, as the Bible shows. Then you have what's called the unknown tongues, and we see that in 1 Corinthians 14, where nobody understands that but spirits. It's made for God. You know, it said the only people that benefit from it are you and God. Because you're speaking it, and God's receiving it. What it does is it edifies you. You got from comfort. Now, that tongues is dangerous, because once again, people use it to kind of, today, once again, in our naivety, we tend to look at other people, and when they do it, we're like, wow, that's a holy person. Even though that's not what the Bible says. You understand? You ever see some people, some ministers do it, and then all of a sudden they'll speak in tongues, and they'll say something, they'll speak in tongues, and we don't even know if it's tongues what they're doing, but they're trying to catch you into making them feel like, oh man, that person's really spiritual. Even though the Bible, as we're going to see later, gives us instruction on how to use it and what it's used for. No, it's not used for healing. No, it's not used for exorcism. No, it's not used for anything else. It's used to edify you, period. Right? And then you have the other one, interpretation. Once again, not just a known tongue, but of other tongues. So just like a person can speak it, you have a person that somebody else is speaking another language, you understand exactly what they're saying. Why? I never had a day when I was in another country or learned this. Once again, these are miraculous things that come from God that God would use in different ways. Everybody get those? Questions? Everybody with me? Okay. All right, and these are just one set, as it shows there, okay? Then it shows us our gifts are to be complement each other's gifts, and it's important how we use them. Everybody say how we use them. All right, that was pretty dead, but that's all right. Romans 12, 5-8 says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This is why it's so important, why you can't be a individual go-it-alone Christian. Okay? I know some of you watched the Addams Family, and y'all saw whatever that cousin was, the hand, that was able to thing. Was that thing? Was that Cousin It? Cousin It. No. What was his name? It was Thing. So Thing, it was a hand that was able to run. That's television, y'all. Do you understand me? He would not have existed. It can't happen. He needs the rest of the body. Do y'all get that? Okay, so I just want to throw that out there. Some of y'all are like, what show is that anyway? Anyway, but the point I'm saying is that hand would have been worthless without the arm, without the shoulder, without the neck, without the brain and everything else. That's why he's saying we all belong to each other. My gifts and what I am is worthless without other Christians. We were never meant to be alone Christians. Technology has curved people to go, I can sit at home, listen to this on the online, and I'm good. No, you're not. You missed it. If you didn't realize, wait, I'm supposed to be part of a body. That's why we're supposed to learn together, grow together, hold each other accountable in God's way. Do you understand that? That's why he says each member belongs to all others. That's why you can't tell me to mind my business, because you are my business. And that's why I can't tell you to mind your business, because I am your business. Does that make sense? Right? I know we like to be this individual of, I'm going to do my own thing, don't bother me. Wait, that's like a part of your body has this infection. And it tells the rest of your body, don't worry about me. What's going to happen to that infection? It's going to spread. Or even if it doesn't, that pain is going to affect the rest of the body. Y'all understand that? So understand this. We have, as he says in verse 6, different gifts according to the grace given us. Once again, it's showing that God gives us the gift. It's not something that I earned, something that I went out and bought myself. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use the proportion to his faith. Once again, like I was saying, so one person who's a prophet may be a minor prophet. One person who's a prophet may be a major prophet. Do y'all get it? Okay? So you may be limited in your prophecy two or three times to do it. And that was your gift. And praise God. Use it to those people. You may have somebody where you prophesy every single day. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? That's why you have to understand and grow in faith, or your gift is going to be worthless. It has to be based on the faith given to you. You understand that? If a man's gift, it says, if it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. Now, these three that I just read, and the next one, if it's contributing to the needs of others, all these are gifts. They're not very what we call glamorous gifts, are they? They're not very, I really like these gifts. Think about it. There are things we think, oh, everybody can do it. No, there are some that are gifted that they do it perfectly. They do it exactly how God wants it. They're the one that'll jump in, and you'll see it just come very natural to them when they're led by the Spirit. You know what I mean? Serving. And serving, once again, is in so many ways. They're one that can help people, and the way they help people really serves that person. And they just know how to do it. Okay? Teaching. All right? And not just teachers. You have those that will go out and be able to help children, will help people in things like when you have small groups. In small groups, even though you have a facilitator, you may have somebody to help by teaching somebody something that they were already taught. Give them more clarity. So it's going to come from that as well. Encouraging. If a person is done by the Spirit, they'll encourage the right way. There's a wrong way to encourage. When I encourage based on your flesh or your situation, I'm not an encourager. When I encourage based on faith, there you go. It says if he has encouraged, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, how's that a gift? Because you'll know the difference between a need and a desire. And you'll do it in the right way. You know when to start. You'll know when to stop. It's a gift. Do you understand that? Not every Christian has that. Amen? It says, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. Not everybody is going to be a leader. There are some he gifted to be a leader. Now, every man have a leader is because the head of every God made men leaders. But there's going to be leadership positions. And as we're going to see later, that God's going to place people in. But the gift, only the gift of God will allow you to lead the way you're supposed to. That's why he says, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And a lot of these things, all Christians are required to do. Please understand that. Serving, we're all required to serve. Teaching, we're all required to teach. Encouraging, we're all required to encourage. Give to the needs of others, we're all required to do that. Leadership, in certain ways, we all have to do that. And showing mercy, we must do that. Remember he said, if you don't show mercy, mercy will not be shown to you. Okay? But knowing that we have to all do that, only a few are going to have the gift of doing that. And there's going to be a reason why God does that. We all have the ability, just like faith, but only certain who have the gift in which it'll be in a way that it just flows perfectly. Does that make sense? And God does it for his mercy. Why does he do it? Because it's going to work at that time in this certain part in life for that situation. Does that make sense? Amen? We'll stop there and we'll go over these individuals again, God willing, next week. Any questions? Okay. All right. Let us pray.